Welcome to the Thanksgiving weekend edition of CMDA Matters, a weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp. You know, I was reminded just the other day that average Americans, we will celebrate around 78 Thanksgivings over the course of our lifetimes. I suppose that if we had to alter just one Thanksgiving as an investment in our family's health for the years to come, it would be a small price to pay. We do hold so tightly to our traditions. Sometimes we need to step back and get a broader perspective. Thanksgiving is not just a day, but I think a heart attitude. One of our CMDA staff told me today about an insightful pandemic proverb that it is, quote, better to celebrate a Zoom Thanksgiving than an ICU Christmas. This year, I believe we have so much to be thankful for at CMDA in spite of this pandemic. God has walked beside us through one of the most difficult times for our country and the world. And I trust that He will bring us His sons and daughters out on the other side. I must say that I'm personally pursuing gratitude this Thanksgiving. That's my new word this November, in spite of our present circumstances. Well, my guest today is our new director for the CMDA Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions. Dr. Doug Lindberg is a family physician, and so is his wife, Dr. Ruth Lindberg. I've joked with Doug and Ruth that they are shining trophies of CMDA as the Christian Marriage and Dating Agency because they fell in love and got married while participating in the CMDA student chapter at Loyola Medical School. They both served as missionaries in Nepal for 4 years before returning to the States in 2013. Just after returning for home assignment in 2013, their lives and careers were turned upside down with three major ministry and life-changing events. Dr. Lindberg is a graduate of Bethel University in Minnesota and got his MD degree from Loyola University School of Medicine in Chicago. He then did his family medicine training in the Waukesha program in Wisconsin. He went on to do a family medicine rural health fellowship here in the Tri-Cities area of Tennessee prior to going to Nepal with Ruth and his two children. I invite you now to listen in on my conversation with Dr. Doug Lindberg, who has accepted the charge to advance healthcare missions under the umbrella of CMDA. Well, I count it a great privilege today on CMDA Matters to have as my guest our newest member of our senior staff team, and that is Dr. Doug Lindberg. Doug, since the beginning of August, has become the director of our Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions. So welcome to the program today, Dr. Lindberg.
Thank you.
And Doug, you're talking to us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and you've continued even as director to do a little bit of medical work on the side. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing halftime.
Yeah, so I work halftime for Pro Healthcare in their urgent care department. So this is a job I was doing full-time for the last 7 years or so, and they graciously allowed me to cut my hours so I could come on board with CMDA and continue to work clinically, which I'm certainly thankful for.
Well, before we launch into talking about the center for which you've become the director, tell us just for our listeners' sake, your background in medical missions and just a little bit about how you and Ruth felt that God wanted you to serve in a cross-cultural setting in answer to the Great Commission.
So Ruth and I received our calling separately, and we both felt that was important for us in that during our time on the mission field, there was no question that one of us was there because the other was called or vice versa. But the Lord placed a very clear calling on both of our hearts. And for me, it started unfolding through attending Urbana Missions Conference in college, and then blossomed really during medical school through friendships that we had through our CMDA chapter at Loyola. And in a home that we lived in, there were four different people who went into long-term medical mission work. And so it was just an incubator for medical missions. And Ruth just lived a couple blocks down the street. So she was certainly a part of that too. And yeah, just conversations. We had Dr. Harold Adolf and his wife came to our house on a snowy winter evening and talked to, I think, seven of us or so, which may have not seemed like a great turnout, but the outcome was ultimately, I think, five of us wound up overseas in mission work.
I've heard from Harold myself. He has a powerful, moving, and motivating testimony.
He sure does. So that trip up the slippery stairs in January in Chicago was worth it for for him and his bride. But yeah, we were both really clearly called individually, which made us even more convinced as a couple that we were to continue to engage in the Lord's work overseas when he sent us.
So you ended up serving a full term in the country of Nepal, a traditional missionary term. And at the end of that term, you returned to the States, and then some pretty remarkable things, unexpected things happened for your family. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah. So at the end of our term, we left fully intending to be returning to Nepal a year later. Within a span of 6 months, Ruth's father had a ruptured cerebral aneurysm. The hospital, the mission hospital we had been working, which had been a mission hospital for over 40 years, was nationalized. And then most significantly, about 6 months after our arrival home, Ruth was diagnosed with stage 4 carcinoma of unknown primary, which ultimately wound up being endometrial cancer. But truly miraculously, I'll skip to the punchline, truly miraculously, she is now 5 year cancer free. And so there are new horizons for us as far as just our life together. Our kids still have their mom, I still have my wife, and the world still has Ruth.
Well, I want to encourage our listeners, if they have an opportunity to cross paths with Doug and Ruth Lindbergh, to get an opportunity to hear, as I have heard up close and personal, your story and how God miraculously took away Ruth's cancer. So you've been working in Milwaukee urgent care, and then out of the blue this past February, I reached out to you and asked you to consider whether God might have something different for your life and for your journey in medical missions. And how did you and Ruth come to the conclusion that it was that this was an opportunity that maybe God had in mind for the Lindberghs?
We've been praying for some time and feeling increasingly restless about the status quo, and still felt passionate about healthcare mission work and wanted to be involved in that. And we've been involved with mission work. I'm in the mission leadership team at our church, and we've maintained an active presence in several mission efforts and circles, but felt like there was more. And yet we weren't feeling released to go yet at this point. And so we didn't know what other options there were. And yet we were praying and wondering, and again, feeling increasingly unsettled with the status quo. And so when you called, the soil had been tilled already. And so, yeah, there were some logistical things to talk through and work out, but the Lord had already pretty well prepared our hearts to say yes. And again, we're thrilled to be stepping into this opportunity and working with CMDA.
Well, we've had a Center for Medical Missions that both Dave Stevens and Susan Carter started a number of years ago. And there's been a lot of wonderful ministry that's been done. And just recently, we agreed together to change the name to the Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions, because so much more of the outreach goes beyond medicine, involving all kinds of healthcare, whether it's dentistry or physical therapy or optometry, you name it. We've even had some veterinary missions involved with some of our conferences. So how is CAM, as we're calling it now, working to help inspire and mobilize the next generation of healthcare missionaries, Doug?
CAM's already been doing great work in this area. So for many years now, they've been putting on, or CMM at that point has been putting on the pre-field conference twice a year, most years. This year, we had to cancel our upcoming spring one due to COVID. But this is a conference that brings together appointees, medical healthcare missionaries that are about to go out. And it's a wonderful orientation that encompasses culture, world religions, and fundraising and preparation in all sorts of different ways, and that allows these folks to be together as well. The fellowship is really an important element of it. to bring those people together. I know for Ruth and I, when we went through it, it was extremely beneficial to us. And we look back on those times and drew strength from them for years later while we were on the field, as well as keeping up some of those relationships. So we'll continue on with that. There's a newsletter called Your Call, which goes out regularly to folks who are interested in medical missions, healthcare missions, excuse me. the nomenclature is we're still working on being consistent.
And I think, Doug, that's well over 1,000 recipients on that list, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a widely distributed. There's the Remedy Missions Conference, currently Remedy West, which will be held January 9th and 10th. It'll be virtual this year. And these are geared towards students and anyone else interested in missions. We're considering future sites for this in years to come as well. This year, it'll just be held at California Baptist. But again, it's a virtual conference, so anyone can sign up. And then I think a real key element that CMDA brings to bear with regards to mobilization is working with our campus and community ministries. Our organization has a presence on the majority of med schools in this country on their campus. And so that gives us access to students, to residents, to faculty in ways that other sending agencies and mission mobilizers just don't have. And so to be making connections, and we're trying to build up a virtual speakers bureau and local speakers bureau to provide folks who are engaged in healthcare missions to come and talk to students and residents over time. And so we're really excited about those possibilities. And again, kind of combining the campus and community ministry with CAM. And then a couple other things, we offer 9 different scholarships. Most of them are for short-term trips, many for students and residents. I believe one for nursing, one for physician assistants as well. And then we're also a partner organization with GMHC, the Global Missions Health Conference, and have a significant presence there with a lot of our staff speaking and a dozen different booths in the exhibit hall. And so we're very involved there.
Well, what is CAM doing to support our members who are healthcare missionaries right now and are serving at mission hospitals around the globe, Doug?
Just dovetailing off the prior point, another newsletter is that we put out is the Epistle. So there's the Your Call for folks who are interested in the Epistle for folks who are on the field. And that's a newsletter that goes out every other month. Again, Ruth and I found that very encouraging and thought-provoking while we were there. Personal connections, I think, are key. And that's something that I'm working on now and will continue to work on and encourage our members to engage into. It's a huge encouragement when you're over there. When you send out a prayer letter and you get responses, even if it's just a couple sentences, making it clear that you've read it and that you're praying for them, that's a huge encouragement. So I try to do it. I encourage our members to do it when you get a prayer letter from missionaries. Another big one is looking at longevity for people who aspire to be career healthcare missionaries. And Ruth and I aren't alone in going out and being out for one term. And obviously every situation is different and there are different circumstances that bring people home. But there was a study done a few years ago, and for folks who go out aspiring to be long-term healthcare missionaries who wind up coming home, the average length of service is 4.77 years compared to what they went out thinking might be 20 or 30 oftentimes. And so MedSend, which is a partner organization of CMDA, actually started as a CMDA ministry and now is a fantastic ministry that helped pay off med student loans. In partnership with our Center for Wellbeing, has started a coaching and mentor ministry for new missionaries when they go out, where they're paired with a MedSend alumnus and agree to meet at least monthly for the first 2 years that they're on the field. And then thereafter, it's kind of a voluntary continuation. And so I'm really excited about that. Ruth and I just completed the coaching training and we'll be getting matched up with a couple new missionaries and excited to see that take off to address some of the unique challenges that lead to attrition, including burnout and stress and team dynamics and spiritual warfare and all these things. And to have someone to talk about it with, I think will be really helpful.
You know, Doug, I have run into a lot of young couples who are double doctor couples like you and Ruth and are considering serving in medical missions. Could you just share with those who are listening, what are the unique challenges for couples who are both physicians or both healthcare in serving overseas cross-culturally?
When we arrived over there, we had to check our prior assumptions at the door. We had to leave them on the tarmac because the reality of living overseas in a developing world context where culture is unfamiliar, language is unfamiliar, and trying to raise little kids, there's just only so much you can do. And so I think starting with a willingness to be open and communicate with one another as a couple, a willingness to seek counsel and heed some outside advice and words of wisdom, to recognize that it's a marathon and not a sprint, and to recognize that your family is a huge part of your ministry while you're there. Those are all really important concepts. And, you know, it's one thing to be applying them when you're in language and culture acquisition, and it's another when you're at the hospital and, you know, you literally see situations that can be life or death. And yeah, you're not going to say, no, I'm not going to come and do that C-section right now that needs to be done emergently. But there are some other things that you do need to say no to, particularly when you're a double doctor couple or double professional of any sort with significant ministry going on by both partners. It's something that requires a lot of careful thought. And the Lord doesn't call you to not love your kids and not spend time with them.
Amen.
And not raise them well. I think it's very important to be mindful of that.
Well, the first event that we had with you in your new position was the annual summit in healthcare missions leadership. And you joined me as a moderator for one of the 2 days. We did virtual this year because of COVID, bringing together the leaders of all sorts of sending agencies and related healthcare missions agencies. What do you see for the future for this summit that's been going on now for many years? And we partner with MedSend, as you mentioned earlier, a very strong partner with us with a similar vision and wanting healthcare missionaries' career to be successful. Just talk to our listeners a little bit about what you see, where that summit could be going.
Yeah, the summit is a key and strategic gathering that happens every year. This past year, we had 112 key leaders from 50 different organizations that convened. And a lot of sending organizations, healthcare missions is not their prime focus. And that's fine. But at the same time, the needs and the particulars of healthcare missions and healthcare missionaries are different oftentimes than a traditional church planner or a teacher or other folks that they're sending out. And so to have everyone gathered around the table for a dedicated 2-day time together, strategic discussions, connections, and working groups that can form out of that. It is just so strategic and a wonderful platform to, again, advance understanding amongst sending agencies and build bridges and networks between these groups to help us do healthcare missions better moving forward.
Well, I came out of this year's summit in early September myself, Doug, and I think one of the most encouraging things that I heard was from the new president of SIM, probably the largest healthcare mission sending agency in terms of numbers of missionaries. And the fact, just looking over 100 years of ministry, and when spikes in recruitment of new missionaries came was after major, major periods of difficulty, either for North America and or the whole globe. And of course, with what the globe is facing with this pandemic, I'm hopeful, as are you, that when this settles, when this COVID cloud dissipates, God willing, that there'll be a renewed passion and interest for folks within healthcare missions.
It's so strategic. It's such a wonderful way to show the love of Christ to our brothers and sisters around the world. So let's walk through those open doors. And I would pray that the beauty can come from the ashes of 2020.
Amen to that. Where do you think that CMDA can even have greater impact moving forward, Doug, as our new director?
Yeah, I think building on those relationships and networking is key. Yeah, we've already talked about MedSend. A lot of these things that we've talked about are not solely CMDA ministries. We're a trusted third party. We're not a sending church. We're not a supporting church. We're not a sending agency, but there's so much expertise and so many connecting points through CMDA that we have to offer. And so by partnering, we can leverage those connections so effectively. And so things like the summit conference that we work with MedSend on, the pre-field conference, which World Medical Missions and Samaritan's Purse help us with, and then continuing to build out partnerships with groups like, the International CMDA, the ICMDA. There's nearly 200 different chapters of CMDAs in different countries around the world. So building those relationships out and finding ways to support one another is something that we can work on. Health for All Nations, groups like this, where we can continue to work together and leverage the influence we do have to advance the cause of healthcare missions. There's other areas too. I mean, another huge need is hospital administration development efforts. And our new Christian Healthcare Executive section, there's, I know, some discussion going on about how to support administrative efforts in hospitals in developing world setting. And I had a conversation with Dr. Stevens a handful of days ago, and he had mentioned being willing to trade 3 MDs for 1 good administrator when he was in Kenya. And it's true. The benefit of having good administrative support when you're on the field is extremely helpful, and it can be hard to come by. We were blessed with a strong partner organization in Nepal, where I worked, that did have some pretty good administration because of strong national leadership and investment that had taken place in that through the years. But there were still challenges, and that's by no means not always the case. And then I think another area is just to continue to grow our presence in what we're doing already and do it well. Things like our pre-field conference, I mentioned before, our remedy conferences, trying to build those out and potentially add additional sites if the Lord sees that to be fit, and continuing to pour effort into those and see where that goes. So a lot of potential exciting avenues in the future, Mike.
Well, I thank you and Ruth for your thoughtful and prayerful way that you responded to this call to come join us at CMDA. And I am very excited, very pleased with your leadership, and excited about what God will do anointing your efforts. And I pray with Moses in Psalm 90 to bless the work of our hands. Make them successful. Yes, Father, make them successful in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dr. Lindbergh mentioned there's a need for missionaries to have a great support system of fellow believers that will include regular prayer on their behalf. There is a book written by Eddie Byan entitled Praying for Your Missionary: How Prayers from Home Can Reach the Nations. It's a fantastic resource to inform and teach Christians about missions and how they can help missionaries by praying from their own homes. For many Christians, missionaries can be kind of out of sight, out of mind. There were many years when I wondered if anybody back at home remembered that I was serving in Kenya at a given time. Eddie Byan provides a handy guide to praying for our missionaries. He shows the vital connection between prayer and missions, how our prayers are connected to both the well-being of missionaries as well as the fruit of their work. This book offers ways to pray for the various needs that missionaries have on the mission field to prevent burnout and protect them from harm. We can partner with our missionaries as individual intercessors and as sending churches. The fields, Jesus said, are ready, ripe for harvest. Your prayers for the workers and their ministry can make a difference. You can get the book I mentioned and many other great resources for healthcare missionaries and those who send them and support them at cmda.org/store, or just call 888-230-2637. This is a great place to do some Christmas shopping, so be sure to browse our online collection today. I know that you will enjoy the opportunity to chat with Dr. Lindbergh and many sending agency reps during the 2021 Virtual Remedy Conference being held January 9th and 10th, a Saturday and a Sunday. I'll actually be giving the closing challenge on that Sunday, January 10th, and Doug will be joining us as one of several breakout speakers. You can register today online for Remedy 2021 at cmda.org/remedy. Remedy's theme this year, we've chosen bringing the hope and healing of Christ to a world in crisis. Our desire is to get Christians in healthcare like you and others seeking God's plan for their lives of service. I hope that you'll go online even this holiday weekend and register to attend. Again, just go to cmda.org/remedy and you can register even today. With Thanksgiving and the end of year giving season only just days away, I want to take a minute to say thank you, CMDA. Many of you gave so generously this year, equipping your CMDA to respond effectively to some very unique challenges that we faced while still being able to share the gospel and disciple healthcare professionals in their walk with our Lord. At CMDA, we value every single donor and the personal impact they have on so many through their generosity. Each year, during the month of December, CMDA receives a significant amount of financial support to help sustain CMDA's many ministries. As you make your final giving decisions for 2020, I would be so grateful if you would consider CMDA. You know, yesterday as I was putting my thoughts together to record this segment, a member called to make us aware of their desire to encourage others like you to join them in making a special gift to CMDA in December. And they have generously offered a dollar-for-dollar match up to $100,000 for gifts received by Christmas Day, December 25th. Thanks be to God for this wonderful encouragement and early Christmas present to CMDA. Will you join this member by considering your special gift today? Just go to cmda.org/give or contact us at 888-230-2637. Our stewardship team is available to answer any of your questions and help you with your gift. They can be reached at stewardship@cmda.org. Thank you. I look forward to celebrating the many ways the Lord uses your prayers and your generosity to advance the gospel through your CMDA in 2021. Well, I want you to know that our advocacy team, that I call our A-team, wants you to know that several very promising COVID vaccines now, including from Pfizer and Moderna, are looking like they're on the verge of FDA approval. To stay informed on these kinds of issues, I like to read Public Discourse, which is a thoughtful online publication, usually written from a faith perspective. Public Discourse recently published an essay by our very own Senior Vice President for Bioethics and Public Policy, Dr. Jeff Barrows, as well as our Director of Federal Government Relations, Mr. Jonathan Embody. Their essay was entitled, "Is Receiving the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 Vaccine Ethical?" Their essay walks the reader through both the technical and ethical considerations related to this vaccine. The goal is to help you, the reader, navigate the particular medical and moral issues in order to help you decide for yourself what vaccines that you can or cannot in good conscience use personally and or recommend to your patients. You can find a link to this very helpful article on the Freedom to Care news webpage. Just go to freedom2care.org and click on Newsroom tab and then choose News, and you'll be able to read that recent article. In closing, I want to tell you that I pray God has used this difficult year in your life to remind you of what is truly important. Our member well-being surveys this year have shown that, in general, spiritual well-being has actually improved through this pandemic, even though other markers of well-being have gotten worse. Let us keep our hearts and minds focused through the 2020 holidays on what matters to Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Paul told us in Colossians chapter 3, verse